Welcome to Sunday Morning, a news and public affairs programming service of Cox Media Group. I'm your host, Mimi Lawson, and I've got Glenn Paul Edson with me. You're the Assistant District Operations Manager. Is it for Pinellas County Mosquito Control?
Yes, ma'am. Pinellas County Mosquito Control.
Everybody's freaking out about this Zika virus, aren't they?
Yes, ma'am, they are.
And why are they? I know that we had some conversation over email yesterday that really this isn't as big of a problem as the media is making it out to be. Is that true, or am I kind of paraphrasing?
Well, as with anything, it's kind of the new flavor of the week.
Right.
You know, Zika's been around. It was first discovered in 1947 in Africa, in Uganda. And then it did not really show up in the Western Hemisphere, same way as chikungunya. It did not show up really until last year, 2015. And then all of a sudden, it has really taken over all of the Caribbean, South America, especially Brazil and stuff like that. So we're starting with traveling. We're starting to see some import cases. We haven't had any yet in Pinellas, but there's been a few in Hillsborough, and definitely around the country there's been import cases. So as the world gets smaller with the global traveling, viruses and diseases just become more prevalent, and they're just starting to show up more.
We're going to talk about what's going on around here first, but you just mentioned something I wanted to talk about, and that was Brazil. As we know, the games are this summer. And I saw something the other day on TV where they're talking about saying, well, we're not going to tell you not to come to the games. However, we're just going to warn you that we do have a plethora of cases there. What is your feeling about that?
To be honest, I actually got a call from a company in Brazil a couple weeks ago that had been tasked by the Brazilian government to try to do some type of aerial program, I guess, leading into the games and before it became a big thing, you know, to try to see if they can stop it. And I think what they learned is what we already know over here is the best way for whether it's Zika or chikungunya or dengue or any of these things that happen with the two container breeding type of mosquitoes that are daytime biters, you have to change up your program. You can't run fogging trucks that you normally would in the evening and stuff like that or in the mornings because they're not out then. So education becomes your number one tool. Boots on the ground, going around, teaching people to check their own yards, to dump their containers, to wear the appropriate clothing, to use repellents with DEET. All these things that we preach over and over and over again are now coming, you know, to fruition as far as here is a type of virus that you really need to pay attention to what we've been saying. Nine out of 10 of the phone calls that I get every day, we try to respond within 24 hours to every call that comes into Pinellas County Mosquito Control. We make contact with that citizen. We try to figure out what the problem is. Sometimes it could be a ditch. Sometimes it could be a swamp across the, you know, the yard, or it could be salt marsh that's 20 miles away. 9 out of 10 times, it ends up being containers in that person's yard or in the neighbor's yard.
Oh.
So with Zika, chikungunya, dengue, all three of those viruses are transmitted by Aedes albopictus and Aedes aegypti that only breed in containers. So it just shows that we're, just like Brazil, we have, or we're kind of a perfect spot for it. We're very urban, a lot of buildings, a lot of people close together, and a lot of containers. So education is the number one tool right now to try to stop this from becoming not just, you know, import cases, but locally acquired cases.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because I also read an article about that in Africa, that what they're doing, like you said, is not that major spraying like we do at night, usually in Pinellas and Hillsborough County as well, but they're actually doing backpack spraying and spraying around the areas where certain cases have been reported, and they find that that's working better.
Yeah, so there is different things you can do. I mean, if let's say we'll just pick a cemetery, because a lot of times cemeteries have, you know, the flower urns or different things that are bigger or just cannot be turned over because they're kind of like permanent fixtures.
Right.
So that would be a more difficult thing or a more difficult challenge for us. So there is products like wettable powders that we can use out of backpacks that we could actually spray into those areas that would kill the larvae.
I see.
Obviously, it's easier if we can just turn the bucket over or whatever the container is. But for areas where you can't, there is products that we can use. And then we would also, we can do what we call hand fogging, which is a small fogging system that we can go around the house in those daytime hours and try to help cut it down. We have a very good rapport with our health department. And any kind of case, whether it's West Nile or Zika or chikungunya, Eastern equine encephalitis, anything like that, they work closely with me. And then I work with my techs, and they know, based on what type of virus it is, what type of mosquito to look for.
Really?
And then we can go try to hunt down in that area to make sure it's either, A, if it's a container breeding mosquito, then we're going around the houses. If it's West Nile and it's coming from a Culex mosquito, then we're going to the ponds and the swamps and stuff like that. So there's a lot of knowledge that has to go into this game of trying to head it off before it becomes a problem.
Yeah, I was just thinking that you were saying. I mean, this is really a science, isn't it?
Yes, there's a lot of mystery and solving problems and science and stuff like that. We run around 56 traps every day, and we use that information. It's ID'd in the lab. They ID the adult mosquitoes, and then the techs will bring in larvae as they find them, and they're able to ID them at least to the genus level, not to the species level, because it's pretty hard without a microscope.
Mm-hmm.
And we can know whether we got mosquitoes that are amphibian biters. You know, because there's 80 species in the state. We have roughly 36 in the county.
Really?
And not all of them are problems to us. You know, we really worry about the ones that are going to be virus vectors. So those are the ones we key in on. So being able to know the habits and the habitats of those certain species helps us get rid of them. You know, if they're aggressive eaters at the larval stage, then we want to use a product that they ingest. If they're something like Anopheles that can carry malaria that hangs, you know, horizontal in the water column and does not swim around much, then we need to use a different product because they're not going to come in contact with the stuff that the products where they would eat. And we would use a product called methoprene, which is a juvenile growth hormone that they absorb through, and it tells them not to go through metamorphosis.
Oh.
So we have to use a lot of science and a lot of know-how to figure out what's the best way to get rid of the mosquitoes at that certain time.
You know, you say that you work with the health department. The health department, are they considering this at all an epidemic, or is this just another one of those many things that you listed that can be transmitted by mosquitoes?
Yeah, so right now it would not be considered an epidemic. I mean, we haven't had any cases.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the potential to become an epidemic? Very much so. So when chikungunya first came in the Western Hemisphere, December of 2014, I have 12 techs to service a million citizens and a million tourists for Pinellas County.
Wow.
So I cannot go door to door with 12 people. So I went to all the other departments in the county and told them about chikungunya, which is the exact same for Zika, which is I'm going to need help. If this happens and it becomes locally acquired and becomes an epidemic in this area, it's really going to be about getting boots on the ground and educating the public. So it's going to take a lot of manpower to do it. It's not going to be something where you can just drive the truck and go around and kill them. It's going to be going door to door and knocking and getting on the news and getting on radio shows like you and stuff like that, to where we really can empower the citizen to help themselves, you know, help us help them.
And I'm surprised a lot of what I consider knowledge that everybody should have, things that you should do or shouldn't do, like turn your lights on when it's raining outside and you're driving, for example.
Uh-huh.
I think everybody should know that, and apparently they don't.
Correct.
What are the things that we should know? What, obviously, tipping over standing water containers, but let's go down a list of other things you can do.
Okay, so we like to preach what we call the 5 D's. So one of them would be dumping out your containers around your house. So anything around the house that can hold water, whether it's even a bottle cap, is the potential to breed mosquitoes.
That small.
Yes, ma'am. And then dress. So you would want to dress appropriately. If you're going out at dusk and dawn or at times where you have high mosquito activity, you would want to wear long sleeves. I know that could be hard in Florida, especially in the summer. But you would want to wear, you know, light colored clothes, long pants, long sleeves. If you can't, if it's in the summer and you're like me and you like to wear shorts and flip flops and all that, then you would want to use a product that has DEET. If you're adverse to DEET, you know, in a repellent, there is products that have a chemical called picaridin. And picaridin works just as well as DEET, and in some tests it's showing to work better, and it does not have any of the detriment and can be used on infants and stuff like that. Mm, so that's a good product that has picaridin. And so that we had dump, dress, deet, and then you want to avoid dusk and dawn. So it's about avoiding those times when there is high mosquito activity. You know, most of our species are crepuscular, so they're very active at dusk and dawn. So we like to teach people to, you know, stay inside, stay in the air conditioning, don't go out and put yourself at risk of, you know, being bitten and being that small, minute chance of becoming something or a case, whether it's West Nile or Eastern Equine or Zika.
Becoming dinner.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Something that I found very interesting, and I would imagine people would worry about this, that what happens if their pets get it? And I heard that this is not, Zika is not one of the things that is transferable between species. So if your dog has to go out and go to the bathroom at that time of night and gets this, well, in fact, can pets even get it?
That's something that I have not heard any definitive answer on.
Yeah.
Even the connection with Zika and microcephaly, which is the big issue right now, most, you know, I think they were saying 1 out of 5 people that get Zika are the ones that show symptoms. So 4 out of 5 never even know they've had it. And then 1 out of 5 shows symptoms, and probably 1 out of 100 of those have symptoms bad enough to where they would actually go to the doctor and get tested.
Well, when I read the list of symptoms, they're a lot like what's going around in our offices. You and I were talking about that before we got on the air.
Yeah, so it's like flu-like symptoms. And the bigger issue is in pregnant women and the birth defects and microcephaly. As far as pet, there's just a lot being learned right now about Zika. It hasn't been studied all that much. So there's that connection to microcephaly is just come about in the last couple months. Connections to pets, I'm not even sure if there's been any research on yet, or I'm sure they're working on it.
Right.
Obviously, for pets, you would worry about dog heartworm, which definitely is transmitted by mosquitoes.
Right.
But like West Nile and some of these other viruses, pets are usually dead-end hosts. So that means that, yes, they might become sick and they might get the virus, but they don't become viremic to where they can pass it on.
That's what I heard.
Right. Whereas humans with Zika, dengue, and chikungunya, we definitely can pass it on. So that's how it. Those viruses are different in that it goes human, mosquito, human, mosquito, human, mosquito. So that's why it's very important if a person comes in, travels to Brazil for the Olympics, comes back here and is sick, there's the potential, because we have the right mosquitoes, for that person to get bit by the female mosquito, and then it gets passed on to somebody else.
So not from person to person.
Correct. It's not person to person. It requires that mosquito, but it does go person, mosquito, person.
I see.
Whereas like West Nile and Eastern Equine, it's usually mosquito, bird, mosquito, bird, mosquito, bird for a long time. And then we would be a dead-end host where it happens to be one of those species that's an all-around biter, and actually goes and gets the virus from a bird, and then on the next blood meal, passes it on to a human.
Let's talk about the Zika disease, though, itself. This is what I'm hearing. So, you know, if I'm wrong, please correct me on this. First of all, that it's a pretty short-lived disease, and that it is what they call self-resolving.
Self-resolving in the fact of, yes, I think that term I have heard also. When it comes to just the human aspect of the disease and symptoms and all that type of stuff, we usually refer to the health department. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. I work more as an entomologist, so I understand the insect aspect of it and how it evolves in the mosquito body and travels from the salivary gland to the midgut and all that kind of stuff. But it is something that it works its way through, and then, like I was saying, where it only 1 out of 5 people develop symptoms, and then those symptoms are usually very mild. And all they can really do is treat symptoms. There's no vaccine for it. There's no treating of Zika to get rid of Zika. All you would do is treat your headache or your rash, or, you know, if you had muscle pain and stuff like that.
Right.
But usually it resolves itself and works its way out.
Well, and you did mention pregnant women. What I heard from Brazil is that they are warning pregnant women because, like you say, it can be passed on to the fetus. But
correct.
Let's say you think that you'll be pregnant at some future date, you are not pregnant now, you get it, that it is not going to affect your future pregnancies. This is not something that stays in the body and then would affect future children.
And that would be a question that I would definitely refer to the health department, like to a physician, to understand that one. I am not sure, and I'm not even sure if they know yet.
Well, I actually had heard an interview on Channel 13. It wasn't something that was aired. This woman who was a physician here in Tampa Bay did a social media interview, so to speak, where people were asking that question, and that is what she said. If you're pregnant now, you want to be concerned, but if you think that you're going to or want to get pregnant in the future, that this is not something you need to worry about, that it is a very self-limiting, and it will not affect a future pregnancy.
That would be good news for everybody.
It would be. You're right. You've given us a lot of great information this morning. I appreciate you spending some time with us.
Not a problem. I appreciate it. Like I said, education is the key. So we are happy to talk to anybody and everybody about it. We are a free resource to the citizens of Pinellas County. If they have problems, they are more than welcome to call us, and we can help them out.
Where would they call you?
So they could give us a call at 727- 464-7503 or PinellasCounty.org website. There is a link to mosquito control, and they can put in a service request that way also.
Well, thanks for joining us. Glenn Paul Edson has been our guest this morning on Sunday Morning, and I really appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the time.